Hello there. I hope you're off to a good start on this Wednesday in St. Louis. Welcome to another Bernie Miklas show here on my YouTube channel. Trying to get to 7,000 subscribers, maybe by Thanksgiving. That would be fantastic if you can help me out by subscribing. I really appreciate it. Also hit the like button and please feel free to comment. I enjoy your comments. I read them all. When I have time, I try to respond to as many as I can. I do fail at times, but you know how it is. You just get a little busy. But I do read them. Thank you. And anyway, moving on. Today's topic is one that I find interesting, at least from a conversational standpoint. And we're still operating in the dark. And I'm talking about the Cardinals in 2025. And it isn't so much what kind of record they're going to have, how good they'll be. Can they be a surprise team? Can they contend? Is it going to be a losing season? Are they inevitably just going to stink? I really can't answer that today because we don't know what the roster is going to look like by the time they get into opening day in the regular season. But I feel like I have to say this up front before I get into what I really want to talk about today, because what I really want to talk about today is, can the 2025 Cardinals be an entertaining team to watch? And how do they become an entertaining team to watch? How can they make it worth your while to come to the ballpark maybe more than you were planning to, or watch games on TV, including direct to consumer, more than you were planning to? What can they do to capture your interest in a way that at least raises the enthusiasm level some? But here's the part where I feel I have to include it, because if I don't include it, I'm going to get comments like, well, Bernie, I hate to remind you of this, but the goal is to win a World Series. The goal is to win pennants. It's not to be entertaining. Well, yeah, I think we all know that. But the Cardinals have even said they're probably taking a step back this year. So what's the point of me wasting your time and mine, which I've just done, by the way, like talking about their chances to win a World Series or win the division or win the pennant? As of right now, that's off the table. So there's just really no reason to describe it. I'm aware what the goals are. I'm aware what the franchise standards are and how they have fallen and how, to me, that's sad. And it didn't have to be this way. So I just wanted to get that out of the way. Yep, I know what the objective is. I do. Thank you, though. But can they be entertaining? Can they be enticing? Can they provide fun at the ballpark? And I'm talking about just with their style of play or just the quality of their play. Now, my friend Tom Ackerman of CamWex, has a weekly hit Sports the Sunday Morning with John Mozeliak. And Aki basically asked John Mozeliak, what kind of team do you want to put on the field? What are your hopes, kind of team it will be in 2025? And this fits into the we're going to play the kids theme, and all that. In other words, hungry ball players, everyone competing for playing time, And so this fits into that tableau. So John Mozeliak answered this way. I don't have to read it to you. Quote, I don't know if I should do a Mo voice or not here. Maybe I'll do a bad one. It won't be as good as usual, probably, because now I feel the pressure to make it sound good. But what John Mozeliak said, quote, what I really hope is the identity of this club is that it's a younger, athletic, entertaining, and fun-to-watch team. That was John Mozeliak's quote to Tom Ackerman. Then he reaffirmed sort of the nature of this team and the nature of this season in terms of just this reset or minor rebuild or moderate rebuild, again, whatever the heck you want to call it. John Mozeliak told KMOX, quote, you think about a lot of the names and faces on this club, and there's going to be a lot of opportunity for guys to really establish themselves. And if they do well, it can be very exciting. That's what you ultimately are hoping to see. All right. So I told you, as we sit here in the middle of getting close to Thanksgiving, that, you know, that was John Mozeliak's description of the kind of team that they hope to put on the field. And again, they're not ready to compete for a World Series. So, you know, I don't know. That was a good answer for the specific question, what kind of team do you hope to put on the field in 2025? And once again, did you expect him to say win the World Series? I mean, all right, I'm getting too hung up on that. I'm annoying myself. So enough already. I'm telling me that. Enough already. Here's the deal. Here's what I don't understand. Given the players that they have now, right? And that subtracts Paul Goldschmidt. We don't know about Nolan Arenado. Wilson Contreras is staying. He's a charismatic guy who plays with an edge. I think there's entertainment value in him. I know this kind of weird cult of Contreras haters will never like him for any reason, which is fine. You don't have to like anybody you don't want to like. But I also don't have to pay attention to it in terms of giving your views validity. I'm going to always make sure I point out that it's just silly and it's mostly nonsense. But anyway, who are the entertaining players? Who are the young? Well, they're going to have younger players, but again, they're overdoing let's play the kids thing. Because some of these guys, as I mentioned repeatedly, aren't kids anymore, right? But when we talk about younger, athletic, entertaining, fun to watch, the identity of the club. Okay, well, who fits that? I think Mason Wynn fits it, despite the fact that there's this underlying tone of criticism of him locally. Just, I think it's a small minority, but that's kind of strange given how well he performed and dramatically exceeded expectations in 2024 as a rookie, offensively and defensively, especially defense. And he's a good base runner, if not a good base stealer. He's a good base runner, and there is a difference. But he's athletic. He's got speed. He makes really dazzling type of plays at shortstop. And it's fun to watch Mason Wynn, I think, like hit with two strikes, put the ball in play. You know, just adapt from pitch to pitch about what the assignment should be based on the situation. For a 22-year-old guy, man, really, really smart, very, very astute at these type of things. So I think Mason Wynn would fit that younger, athletic, entertaining, fun-to-watch identity. If Victor Scott gets a chance to play, and I really question what kind of opportunity he will get, Victor Scott, you know, wasn't that long ago he stole 90-plus bases in the minor leagues in one season. And he's got tremendous speed and he's very athletic and got tremendous upside. But as I've mentioned before, and I'll just say it again, Cardinals give me the strong vibes, the strong impression that they've all been handed the center field job to Michael Ciani. And Ciani's got some attributes, an excellent defender and a good base runner. I mean, he was the only Cardinals player last year that swiped at least 20 bases, and he only got caught three times. So there's some flair to Ciani's game. And I do think that he is an entertaining player. And I also think, and I think I included this in a video recently, before he got hurt last year with that strained oblique, he was really starting to hit well. I mean, not a big, huge power guy, but he was slugging over 400. He had an over 300 average or close to it, and he also was getting on base a lot. So there's probably more offense there, at least the capability of more offense there. We'll just have to wait and see. But he does play the game with flair. But if he's playing center field, Victor Scott's probably not going to be in St. Louis. I wouldn't imagine they would want him to sit around and watch. So if they're already committed to Michael Ciani, which would in theory, and I could be wrong, but it would reduce Victor Scott's playing time or his opportunity. When you talk about young, athletic, entertaining, fun to watch, Victor Scott can be that guy, but not if he's sitting on the bench or not if he is actually entertaining the fans of the Memphis Redbirds in AAA, right? And it's funny because just let me just read you this. This is what Mosaic said when Tom Ackerman asked him about Victor Scott. Does this sound like a guy, the president of baseball operations, that's, you know, oh, yeah, we're going to let Victor Scott, we're going to let him go. This is what this kind of year is all about. We're going to put him in there. He's got, we think he's really talented. He's a little raw still, but the best he can do is play, 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 and we're going to give him that opportunity. He didn't say that. Can I tell you what he did say? He said, not a great offensive year in 2024, but has a chance to be an elite player defensively and has he's evolving as an offensive player, meaning he's not there. But if you need a player to evolve, the player has to play, especially if the team's not trying to win a pennant or a World Series, where they're taking the year to let the kids play. John Mozeliak said about Victor Scott, quote, it just comes down to being a little patient, knowing that he's going to have to continue to grow as a player. And I hope that this past year with all the ups and downs really hasn't set him back. He's now working in, working on some things down in Jupiter, and that part's really great for his development. All right, there, little note of hope there, but I'm just saying it doesn't sound like they believe he's just throw him in there and let him play type thing. And maybe they shouldn't feel that way. Again, I'm just putting this out there. A lot of this is I want you to comment on this. I'm just sort of freelancing here with my opinions. Look, if Nolan Gorman can get back to hitting home runs, he's entertaining. And the problem is not enough home runs last year and way too much swing and miss and too many strikeouts. We know that. But I think other than there were a couple nasty slumps in 2023, but I think we would have taken that season last year again because he hit in the high 20s with home runs and he slugged 478, 480, something like that. He took a step forward. There's no doubt about it. But he totally collapsed last season. But when Nolan Gorman is capable of delivering on all that immense power that he has, he's an entertaining player. But that's a big question. That's a big if. Lars Nootbaar can be entertaining, except, you know, when his latest injury doesn't permit him the showcase of providing entertainment. Not when you're on the IL, and he's been on the IL 5 times in the last 2 years. Another guy who can be very entertaining, he's got a colorful personality, his energy level is fantastic. He has great enthusiasm for playing the game. So if he's in there all the time and he's doing his thing, because the more he plays, the better he is. He can provide entertainment value. He can be an exciting player, but you notice I'm saying he can be, because there's a lot of questions about him, just in terms of the number of games he'll actually be able to play and the continuity of him being in the lineup as a regular and starting 140 games rather than 100 games. Jordan Walker is capable of providing excitement at the plate. Well, I guess in a way, he kind of provides excitement, adventure. He provides adventure in right field, right? It's kind of an amusement park ride. It's an up and down. Now it's tilting over there. You know, it's like a tilt-a-whirl going nuts, right? But no, we saw enough in his rookie year. If you look at his final numbers, I mean, for a guy at that time was 21 years old, that's a really good offensive season. They got to get him back to that. So he's a maybe. Gorman is a maybe. Scott is, well, you going to let him play or not? I think we all have really good expectations of him providing entertainment and excitement in 2025. Sorry. And this is primarily about position players. I'm definitely a Wilson Contreras guy because one thing about him, he has something that this team hasn't had enough of ever since Pujols and Molina retired and long ago Cardinals who have been long gone, is that Contreras plays with an edge. He's an imposing presence. He doesn't, to quote the late, great James Brown, Papa don't take no mess. And Contreras don't take no mess. Papa don't take no mess. So, you know, he's a commanding physical presence. He's very physical in his play. He's very aggressive in his demeanor. Guys like that are fun to watch because the other side, the other dugouts, like looking at him and they're kind of like, man, this guy's, I wouldn't want to set him off. I'd like that kind of persona. And the Cardinals really have been lacking terribly in the last couple of years with that kind of player. He's been one of them. But in 2023, it's kind of hard to be that guy when the manager and the starting pitchers and the front office, they're all trying to, in effect, ruin his reputation with the fan base by blaming him for the fact that the front office didn't get enough pitching for 2023. The pitchers, several of whom went off to frolic and play in the World Baseball Classic instead of staying in spring training. And some of the pitchers that were pointing the finger at Contreras, oh, it's not me, it's him, didn't have the guts to take responsibility for their own weak performance. And the manager rolled over. It was the low point of Marmol's career here in St. Louis. He rolled over, and it was a disgraceful episode. And John Mozeliak backed up the manager and the pitchers, these baby infantile pitchers. It was an embarrassment. So it's interesting. Contreras has got all the qualities that every Cardinals fan should love because of his intense competitiveness. He puts the team first. He plays angry in a good way, and he can be intimidating. He's a La Russa-type competitor is what I'm trying to say. But it's kind of hard. It's kind of hard for fans to just completely embrace him. And I know it's a while back now, but what after they did to this guy to damage him up front is one of the most disgraceful things I've ever witnessed in terms of all my years in sports media in St. Louis. So I wanted to revisit that again. But I hope that fans will come around. Those who don't will give him a chance to sort of take the lead and to show you he wants to be part of this. He wants to help get the Cardinals get through this. He'll play 100% all the time. You can count on maximum intensity. And he's also the best hitter on the team, and he's been a terrific hitter since he got here after kind of a slow start in 2023. Geez, I wonder why he started slowly. I wonder why. So anyway, Contreras, I think, is an entertaining player. I think Donovan is an entertaining player because he battles pitchers. He's smart. He's savvy. But he's not entertainment in terms of like a circus performer, you know. He doesn't have that aspect. I think Ivan Herrera can be very entertaining. But once again, in this whole we're going to play the kids. You know, the undercurrent is that the pitching staff, the coach, the manager, they all love Pedro Páez. They love him. So I don't know how much Ivan Hernandez is going to be starting behind a plate. Because the Cardinals, boy, they like their certain type, don't they? And that's okay. I mean, if you're managing the team or you're the pitching coach or whomever, you're allowed to fill out the lineup card. I mean, this is your area. You can like who you want to like, then you play who you want to play. And Ivan Herrera was the second best hitter on the Cardinals last year based on weighted runs created plus. Among those that had 250 plate appearances, it was Contreras and it was Herrera. And the more he plays, the better he's going to get defensively. And if they coach him up, he'll take steps forward defensively. His framing and blocking already have improved and are already pretty good. It's just got to, as a team, these people have to work on limiting teams from running wild on them. You know, Herrera's terrible throwing out runners, but I'm saying it's not that simple. Well, it's Herrera. It's all on Herrera. No, it's not. There's a reason why even Wilson Contreras last year, his base stealing throwout rate was above league average by a few points. It wasn't as good as it was in 23. These people do not work on or don't give a damn, or at least they don't give a damn enough to try to hold base runners on. That's more of a team effort That's a coaching manager pitcher effort. And the catcher's got to be the guy that finishes it off by quick pop time, strong throws. Always like to say, it's not, you know, this is not like Wimbledon singles. You know, it's not the singles final, right? At Flushing Meadows, wherever they play the U.S. Open. It's team sport. So we've identified some guys. I think there'll be some other guys got a chance to be entertaining players when Weatherholt gets up here. There's no question about it. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. The dude just has got this inner confidence that just like screams. It's like, damn it, I'm good and I know it. You better recognize me. I know what I'm doing up there. And he's got that Bryce Harper type persona. I'm not saying he's going to be as good as Bryce Harper. I'm saying he's got that cocky persona that you love if he's on your team. You don't like it if he's on the other side. Weatherholt's got that, just got that swagger about him, that strut about them, that just belief that there's not a pitcher alive who can get him out, right? I love that. And see, that's one of the things they're going to have to do is they're going to have to cultivate a new team personality. Goldie is out. He's a wonderful guy, but he was usually so preoccupied with fixing whatever little twitch in his swing, you know, just driving himself slowly bananas, obsessing over everything all the time to the point where, as much as I respect Goldie and certainly his work ethic, I think Goldie at times was Goldie's worst enemy, right? Sometimes, you need to kind of shut it down for a little bit. Instead of just 24 hours a day stressing out over every little part of your swing, always trying something different. And Arenado, we talked about a lot, no need to pile on, but they need to get him out of here because he's not a kind of guy that's going to like losing or rebuilding. And if you're going to play the kids, third base is an area to do that, but not if Arenado is still standing there with kind of a sour look on his face, right? So I'm not sure about the opportunities, how many there really will be, especially if they've already made up their mind on who their center fielder is going to be, or if they've kind of made up their mind. It's like, oh, Pahe's going to play a lot. And I'm not saying Pahe's should be buried and never play. I'm not saying that. But Ivan Herrera's just got tremendous upside that must be recognized. And he's also younger than Pahe's. And this is a perfect situation, this 2025 season, to just give Herrera all the at-bats and all the reps behind the plate that you can. Who else did I leave out? You know, and I didn't mean to go, you know, player by player by player. That's not really the goal of this. You know, Alec Burleson, I thought he was entertaining a lot of times last year, but the final 2 months, things just kind of fell apart on him because he started swinging at everything again and not looking to attack strikes. So we talked about, who can provide some entertainment. And let's be honest, as we sit here today, it's not a lengthy list if we're talking about an entertaining, fun team. But that's why they need a personality transplant. That's why some new team leaders, younger players, who have never been in the role of leading a team because they always defer, whether it was Molina, Pujols in 22, Goldie, Arenado, are always deferring. We don't do that here. He don't like that kind of stuff. If the team wants to be fun, if Jal Mozeliak and the people run the franchise want this team to be fun and entertaining, you got to let the players be themselves. You got to let their personality go. And you got to let them show their fans that they really love playing the game. They enjoy it. It's everything. It's entertaining. They want to be out there like happy warriors going at it all the time and celebrating really good things and just constant energy and just no off on switch, just energy, energy, energy. A lot of emotional reactions in the dugout and on the field where you see them, the fact that they care and they're going to show you what they're feeling. And they want to convey to you that they're enthusiastic and they want you to like them. That personality transplant must occur. They have to transition out of this quiet, in the library mode, right? And let the boys have some fun. Let their natural personalities flow, okay? But this kind of, oh, hold on. Hey, you know, I saw you trying to high-five a guy out. We don't do that here. You know, just get that stuff out of here, okay? If you want to attract young fans, old fans, or whatever, they want to see a team that loves playing the game and loves showing emotion and will spread the joy and the energy and the enthusiasm. It's none of this, shh, we don't do that here. Oh, my gosh. I can't believe that we all of us, even have to say this. But here we are. That's why I really like the possibilities of 2025, because it's a transition year into new leadership and a brand new collective personality and identity, right? And I was talking about the individual players, but I'm talking about this needs to be a collective thing. They need to develop a whole new personality. It's going to fit the youth of the team and the opportunities they're getting and the chances they're going to have to like establish themselves and become popular with the fans because they're good, because they play in a way that is appealing. This is a good time for that. It must happen. It needs to happen. But John Mozeliak was also asked about the offense and bringing it back. Tom Ackerman did a good job with this. And he said, let me find this, okay? He was talking about how, you know, you need to have a team that can score runs in multiple ways. He said, you know, you got to have some balance. You need guys that are going to hit the ball out of the ballpark. You need that. But then you also want guys that can hit doubles and put the ball in play. Something from a fan standpoint that is fun to watch because they're doing it all. All right. That sounds good in theory. And I hope you know, just if you stick with me for a few more minutes here, I'm going to tell you what the problem is with that. So if you're talking about power, all right, again, the guy's coming back, minus Goldschmidt, maybe minus Arenado. You know, if you got to go another piece of paper here, excuse me. If you look at this, like this Cardinals team last year was 12th in the National League in home runs per game, 11th in slugging. There's 15 teams, so you don't want to be 11th or 12th. They were 11th in doubles. They were 10th in triples. And 12th in extra base hits. So if you're talking about, well, you got to have some guys that hit home runs and blah, that's got to be a part of it. It's a big part of it. In fact, last year when the Cardinals hit two or more home runs in a game, they were 27-14. The problem is they didn't do that often enough. And, you know, when they hit no home runs or just one home run, they had a really hard time winning. And home runs are part of baseball, and we can't turn back the clock to where, you know, Babe Ruth was still a Red Sox. You know, he sort of brought the home run into vogue in the major leagues. So we're not, I don't think Cardinals wanted to turn this all back to like 1914. Home runs are a huge part of the game, and they should be. But you got to be able to do other things. How about speed? How about stealing bases? How about running the base paths like maniacs, making things happen, right? Putting pressure on the defense. Well, if you look again at the power, last year there was 90 major league players who had 20 or more home runs. The Cardinals only had two of them. Goldschmidt with 22 and Arenado with 21. 23 teams had at least one player with 23 or more home runs. The Cardinals had none. And this was not a good year for power and slugging. So you say, well, what about the speed, making things happen? It really wasn't a good year for that either. So the things that John Mozeliak's talking about, well, if we have balance and we can do that and we can do this. The biggest problem, as we know, is they were awful with runners in scoring position, just abysmal, just awful. So that's something that's got to change. Maybe the new batting coach can preach a new philosophy. I'm hoping so. We'll have to wait and see on that. So I told you about the power, and the power was lacking, and Goldschmidt, for whatever power he was going to bring, he's not going to be around. And you need bounce-back seasons from quite a few guys, especially Gorman, and to a lesser extent, in terms of home runs. Walker, Contreras can hit for power. There's some people that they play them hit for power. But this is not like something you can say, okay, well, we're confident we're going to hit for a lot of power or good in a good amount of power. You can't be confident in that. Well, what about the speed? 2 years ago, before the 2023 seasons, baseball changed all the rules. You know, the pitch clock, the physically bigger bases made it you can only throw over to first base, a couple of times during it at bat, and the third time it's an automatic ball unless you pick the guy off or whatever the rules are. I should not try to like quote rules because I can't even remember. The whole point was to make it easier to steal bases. Well, let me give you a stat here. I got some good stats, but let me run some by. It tells you about the whole Whitey ball thing. That's not this team. Not that we expected that, but I'm just saying, well, they got to put their speed, their athleticism to work. Yeah, if they had it. They don't have much of it. For example, last season, the Cardinals were tied for 26th in average sprint speed, according to Statcast. Mason Winn, even though he was not an effective base stealer, he was actually a top 10 rated runner for his ability to advance bases to give his team an advantage to set up runs. He was one of the top 10 in the entire majors. I'm sure I'll read in the comment section about how he's just really not that good. Okay. I don't know if anybody said that. I'm being a jerk. But anyway, 26th average sprint speed, unless Victor Scott's playing a lot, how's that going to get better, right? Just tell me with the personnel that they have under contract right now. How do they get faster, right? Just curious. Their 91 steals last year were 22nd in the majors. And, you know, there were 16 teams that stole at least 100. There were 13 that stole at least 125. There were 9 that stole at least 140. And the Reds and the Brewers and the Nationals each stole more than 200 bases. The Cardinals are, you got teams out there that are racehorses. The Cardinals are more like the Clydesdales. I love the Clydesdales. What I'm trying to say, they ain't going to win no races for you, right? They're going to win ribbons. Because they look so great. They're not going to win. You're not going to see them at Churchill Downs, right? I just pulled that one. I don't know. Probably not very good, but I'm trying here. I'm trying to earn my supper, as they say. Here's the thing, too, about the Cardinals' failure to take advantage of the new rules. And this is where the speed and the athleticism come into play that they don't have. As a team, couple individuals, yes. As a team, they don't have it. Last season, the amount of stolen bases attempted, just the attempts, right, was the most in 109 years. Most steal attempts in 109 years. In Major League Baseball, that was in 2024. And based on stolen base opportunities, Major League teams actually attempted to steal on about 7 or 8% of those opportunities. It doesn't sound like much, but that's been a big bounce from where it was. The Cardinals, however, were somewhere between 4 and 5%. In other words, they were passive. They did not attempt to steal bases. They were below average in terms of how many percentage of opportunities do you actually try to steal a base when you have those opportunities? They were not an aggressive team at all. And I think to appreciate that because they're not very good at it. So what's the point of getting thrown out? But not good. And if you look at 2023 and 24 combined, the Cardinals 25th in stolen bases. And the last two seasons, 22nd in stealing bases, 192 over the last two seasons. But in terms of a metric Fangraphs has, what's called, stolen base and caught stealing above average, it's basically how good you are, how effective you are at stealing bases over the last two seasons, the Cardinals 25th of the 30 teams. So it's easy to say, well, yeah, you get more, you hit for power, you stir it up on the base paths, you make things happen, you steal bases, you take advantage of the rules and blah, blah, blah. Hit a lot of doubles. They don't do that either, by the way. And you have the best of this and the best of that, but you can do all these things well, except as this team profiled in 2024, they did not do all those things well. They were one of the worst teams in the National League in terms of hitting for power, and they were one of the worst teams in the majors in terms of being threats to steal base. And, you know, I even looked up some other things for you. I don't want to bore you with this, you know, but the short version is this, because I took a lot of time to look this stuff up. But they were not, they were below average in terms of going from first to third base on a single. They were below average scoring from second base on a single. You know, going from second to home on a single. They were below average at that. They were below average at scoring from first base on a double. They weren't awful, but they were below average. And it depends on situations too. Like, for example, with two outs, they had a better success rate doing that stuff. But that's true of most teams. You don't want to run into an out necessarily when you don't have any outs or one run, one out. You don't want to take an unnecessary risk. Two outs, generally speaking, managers want their teams to go. Just to, you know, try to force the action. So all the things that we want the Cardinals to do well, to have a better identity offensively and to be more capable across the board, based on what we saw last year and the talent they still have in place, that it's not there. It's not there in the volume that you need it to be, is my point. So I share the wish for a more entertaining, enjoyable, fun to watch, athletic, faster, younger team. But when I hear those descriptions or I hear that profile, I really do have to kind of lean back. Well, wait a minute. Those are nice attributes, but you don't really have that team. Maybe something will develop. I don't know. That's why 2025 is going to be really interesting. I apologize for the length of the video, but just a reminder, a lot of times I keep some really good stuff for the end. So, and I know it's easy. It's actually good to speed the video up and it'll go by faster. And I sound like a chipmunk or something like that. Alvin. All right. You all be good. I may be back later with something on the Blues. Thank you so much.